Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
On a scorching hot Tuesday all over the DMV, Grant and Danny with you on the Fan. Thanks to our friends, the law firm Kondori and Murad. They are our exclusive sponsors. They will deliver a will and testament for you if that's what you need. A living trust. They'll put together a medical power of attorney. Whatever you've got as far as the important paperwork needs in your life, they will handle. Schedule a free consultation with their attorneys today at kmlawyers.com. Tell them we sent you, get a discount. That's kmlawyers.com. If you're getting in the car, getting out of the office on your way home in traffic right now, big story of the day in D.C. sports, the Wizards electing to trade Jordan Poole to New Orleans to get, frankly, cap relief, more cap space coming up. They're going to be $110 million flexible after this season based on money coming off the books. We want to get some insight on that trade and on the draft tomorrow that the Wizards are going to try to hit the lottery in. And our buddy Chris Miles, who used to be here in D.C., and now he's hosting all kinds of shows at NBA TV, joins us. Chris, how are you, pal? Good to talk to you again.
Exhausted, my friend. I mean, because we had Game 7 of the Finals, which was great, you know, being a part of that, being on the floor for the trophy presentation, and then coming back here and getting ready for the NBA draft. Typically, you know, last couple of years we've had a week in between, so just a crazy busy time before it slows down here for us with the NBA.
Yeah, with a bunch of guys on the move already, Kevin Durant, Jrue Holiday, and now Jordan Poole from the Wizards, you know, exchange for C.J. McCollum. What do you make of this move from a Wizards perspective here? What was this move about, and kind of what does it mean?
10 out of 10, and I don't want to speak for an organization I'm not around every day, right? But I was talking to a lot of people around the NBA the past couple of weeks, like, Jordan Poole's got to go, right? Like, that's too much money on the books. They're drafting young players like Bob Carrington that show that he can play in the NBA. He needs the ball more. And, man, when I look at who they could potentially draft this year, whether it's Ace Bailey or Jeremiah Fierce or, if they're lucky, Trey Johnson, right? Like, any one of those three guys, you want the culture to be right. And when I look at the vets that they're bringing in, whether it's Chris Middleton, right, Malcolm Brogdon or like Marcus Smart, like these guys, the mentality, their reputation, who they are in the locker room, it's all kind of the same. And when I look at the players that they're drafting, it seems as if that's the book on them as well. So I just think for the Wizards, and I don't want to bash Jordan Poole too much. Again, I haven't been in their locker room the last couple of years, but from what I understand and what I heard in talking to players around the league, you want to build a culture like the Thunder where everybody buys in and they believe. And I feel like seeing this trade, and C.J. McCollum's another one of those guys, right? You free up all his cap space and you bring in a guy who's known to be the consummate pro. I just think it was a great move for them financially, and I think it was a great move for who they are becoming as a team building around their young players.
So let's get into that. I mean, from a 10,000-foot view, looking ahead like 2 years from now, what are they becoming and what is the master plan here, do you think, if it goes their way?
Well, I think their timing, like I thought they were a year off. I think they needed to tank, if you will, or rebuild, if you will, a year or two before to get into that Victor Wembanyama draft. But you have to understand, this draft and next year's draft, absolutely special. And with the sixth pick in this draft, it holds the same value as the second pick did last year. So I'm looking at the players that they get, man. If they get this right, you know, you have to really understand, look at the Thunder. And you go, oh, they won because they had all these drafts. No. Alex Caruso, undrafted guy. Lou Dort, undrafted guy. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, not the guy that you think of as a top-tier draft pick. J-Dub, 12th pick in the draft. It's about getting the culture right and nailing the guys who fit your culture. And when I see the Wizards for the first time in my lifetime, I'm like, they have a culture, they're building, and I can stand behind that. Whether it works or not, I see what they're doing, and I can respect that.
I got Chris Miles with us here on Grant and Danny. So what do you think the future holds for McCollum here? Is it – play him off the bench? Because, as you mentioned, some of these young kids need the ball. Is it buy him out? Is it wait and trade him? Like, what are we doing with McCollum? How do you think that gets played out?
Well, and see, here's the thing. I think C.J. McCollum around the league, right? One, it's an expiring contract. Two, he's a guy that's respected as a veteran, that if you try to move him, let's say later in the season or at the trade deadline, to a team that thinks, oh, we can compete, we can have this guy on our roster at the back end of the year, and he not really affect the salary cap going forward, or a guy that spends the season with you guys and hits free agency, I think there's tremendous value in that. But the point is, for the Wizards, going forward, they do not have that contract on their books for the next 2 or 3 years like they did with Kyle Kuzma and Jordan Poole. They have that open. And, I mean, every time I've talked to C.J. McCollum, you got to understand, that's a consummate pro. He's going to go in that locker room. He's going to be professional, and he's going to help these young players learn to be professional as well.
All right, Chris, I know you've got TV coming up in 20 or so minutes, so we got to pivot to the draft here and give a few minutes of thoughts on the Wizards there before we let you go. But I want to start with, let's just skip through the top three. Let's assume it's Cooper Flagg, Dylan Harper, VJ Edgecombe to Dallas, San Antonio, and Philly or something like that. Pick number 4, Charlotte, and then 5, Utah, ahead of Washington. What should Wizards fans be keeping their fingers crossed and hoping for when the draft really starts at number 4?
Man, if I'm being just straightforward about it, this class I know a little bit better than some of the previous classes, because for the NBA, they have this thing called Future Stars today, where we call their games for the EYBL Scholastic. So I told – matter of fact, hold on. I have Brendan Haywood here with me now. Brendan,
let's go.
When I told you about Trey Johnson before the season, what did I tell you?
Tell me he can shoot and he can score the basketball.
Yeah. Okay. What I'm trying to tell you guys is, before the season started, I told Brendan Haywood, hey, Trey Johnson's a microwave scorer. I saw him in high school score 11 points in 8 seconds. And when I asked him about it, he was like, oh, yeah, I mean, you know, this happens sometimes. I think the best thing that could happen for the Wizards is Trey Johnson falls to you at 6. I don't see how these teams let that happen, but I think that would be a wonderful pick for the Wizards. And this Ace Bailey thing, I mean, he's a tremendous talent. If he falls to the Wizards, you lucked out there too.
And where are you at on Ace Bailey? I mean, the everything surrounding, I don't know how much is mystery and misdirection and the season of lies, or if it's real. I have no idea, Chris.
Well, I'll tell you what's real, right? He's from this area that I live in now in Atlanta, Georgia. I watched him play all the time in high school. High motor, high energy guy. I talked to a coach that coached him with Team USA, and he's like, look, he's in the gym. He's always working. And then I just worked with Seth Davis, who said, you know, his college coach said that he galvanized the guys. He was always like, hey, we're going to work out early. He always talked about how high energy he was, that, like, even when things were said about his game and his shot selection, he's like, look, I'm going to hit the big shot. You guys can trust me. I think he's the kind of player that if he goes to the right place with the right culture, and if the Wizards are building that, he could be your leading scorer. Right, like, he's the guy that can do that. I think some of the things in his game that he lacks is his passing decision making is not there, because he's always concerned with getting a bucket, and I think that's, like, the biggest knock on his game. But I think, you know, he's 18 years old and he can grow past that with great coaching. So I think Ace Bailey is the second most talented player in this draft, if not the most offensively gifted.
Chris Miles of NBA TV. All right, last one. Jeremiah Fears is kind of a blind spot for me out of Oklahoma. They want to turn things over to Bub Carrington. David Aldridge told us earlier today they love him. It's part of why they traded Poole. Is he a two? Like, Trey Johnson obviously could play in the backcourt with him and fill it up. But what about Fears? Does that make sense if they want Bub to go out and play point 30-some minutes a night?
Well, so here's the thing. I saw Jeremiah play when he was so he classed up, just like how Cooper classed up. Jeremiah did the same thing. And the first thing I thought is, oh, this kid will be a 4-year player in college because his body hadn't developed. When I saw the workout clips of him, I did not recognize him, and it was a year and a half later. So when you ask me about what kind of player he can become, the improvement that he's made to his body, his explosiveness, his NBA speed, has gone into warp drive that I'm like, there's no way that he's not the hardest worker. His basketball skills remind me a lot of Tyrese Haliburton, in the sense of he just understands the play to make. and he's played at such a high level for so long that, man, you figure that out. If you got two guys that are willing passers that understand the game, they'll figure that out, especially when you got guys like Bilal Coulibaly out there who can defend so effectively on the wing and finish at the rim. Like, whew, I mean, that would be a great opportunity to draft him. But of course, I'm saying that if Ace Bailey and Trey Johnson are both off the board, because those guys are at a different level right now that Fears would have to work to get to.
Chris, awesome to catch up with you as always, buddy. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
You got it. Watch him. I think in about 15 minutes he'll be on NBA
TV. He's got to go on TV,
for their,
man.
Yeah, pre-draft mock. It seems like if Brendan Haywood was sitting next to him, they were probably finishing up their pre-show meeting. By the way, call me a old-school Wizards nerd. That was my wheelhouse. Brendan Haywood out of North Carolina as the big man with his kind of bricks for hands in the paint. I loved Brendan Haywood. That
was
my
guy. Your classic. I mean classic old-school UNC center. Brendan Haywood, Eric Montross, they had one of those guys every 4 years, a new guy would take over for the previous guy. Just an old school man in the middle. He's here to block a shot, get some rebounds, and dunk.
He was here for 8.5 years.
You sleep.
Brendan Haywood. And there was a couple of times where you felt like he was really becoming something and like was about to maybe be like a 10-10 type player, but I don't know. His career year here was what, probably 9 points and 7 or so rebounds?
Yeah.
But I loved Brendan Haywood. Those Wizards teams when I was in young high school, so I'm thinking it would have been like Gilbert Arenas time frame with Larry Hughes and Antoine Jameson, but Haywood and Jarvis Hayes and Jared Jeffries and Etan Thomas and Juan Dixon and Michael Ruffin, those were my squads.
I loved them so much. And they were like a 40-win team every year. Didn't matter. They just sort of, you know, interchangeably with the different parts. The best they were was with the original big three, not Caron Butler and Antoine Jameson, but with little tiny athletic Larry Hughes just getting steals and ones and shooting a career best. That's when they were at their best all time in that little run in that post-Jordan mid-2000s window.
0-1-0-2 Wizards coached by Doug Collins to 37 wins. I just looked up this roster. This might be my one seed. I got Courtney Alexander, who you completely sleep on.
I'm sure I sleep.
Former Virginia Cavalier, who would jump like
Fresno State, man.
Yeah, 4 feet off the floor and hit jumpers. He would hang in the air for his jump shot longer than anybody. Kwame Brown, Hubert Davis, head coach at North Carolina. He a Tar Heel. Rip Hamilton before they shipped him out to Detroit. Brendan Haywood, Popeye Jones. You don't know anything about Popeye. Ronald Popeye Jones. Mm. Murray State, his son, who's an NHL superstar now, Christian Laettner, Teron Liu, Tyrone Nesby. Oh, God, I loved him from UNLV, 6'6", 225. Steve Buckhantz, nice guy, my guy, your guy, we love him. Steve Buckhantz lied to me about Tyrone Nesby. I thought Tyrone Nesby was about to be the best player ever because of what Steve Buckhantz said every night on the telecast.
Well, you see.
Jahidi White.
You sleep on how Bobby Simmons was going to be the savior because he was on a 10-day,
yeah,
shows right up, and all of a sudden can't miss for like a month, and then basically that was it. That was kind of his career.
If you were a Wizards 10-day player, I did think you were the franchise at some point. Do you remember the name Anthony Goldwire?
Anthony Goldwire. Before, because it wasn't the G League at that point. Like whatever it was before that. Like he made trips back and forth.
God Sham God? Who you've got stories about playing against.
That's right.
But God Sham God was, I don't know if he was the OG, but in my childhood, like that was the 10-day guy. He came in three or four times. It was like a 50-day contract on 5 10-days. Chris Whitney, nobody filled it up from outside better from Clemson. But Jahidi White, when he would score the Georgetown product, who had the range of, you know, a actor who's only ever played a police officer, he only could score if he was dunking, basically. I mean, that was Jahidi White's range, was like, are his fingers touching the rim? But he would score, and they would play, ha-de, 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 o-de, 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 o. To this day, I'm like, that's my game. I'm backing you down until, like, I'm looking up at the basket. I'm under the rim, and then I'm just kind of turning and laying it in. That's what we're doing. That's the Heidi Heidi Ho game.
I really believe this, and you could tell me I'm wrong. Someone could give me another example. And it sounds like I'm just beating the guy. I played in the NBA, played at Georgetown, and is a good story, worked his you-know-what off. I don't think a human being has had worse hands in human history
nope,
than that
can't,
guy.
You can't.
That, like, every finger was a different cinder block, and they'd never interacted before. Like, if you tried to catch the ball with your fists and pinch it, you'd have been better off than Jahidi White trying to catch a real pass from a guard. Like, a guy would penetrate, make a great move, dish it off to Jahidi White, and it was like he had axes for fingers trying to swat that thing out of the air. Oh, the pits.
His hands make Darius Dameron's hands look like that of a Cora brother.
No.
Okay.
No, yes. Not Darius Grant. Why?
Darius might it. He is Why? Alex Cora, Joey Cora, Darius. He's just. Darius got the best hands in the world.
Jahidi's basically Omar Vizquel compared to Darius's hands, what you're saying.
Yeah. He's a middle infielder who had a 17-year career as a glove first baseball player. And by the way, that was unacceptable, Danny. I don't know why you threw Darius under the bus like that.
Why would you do that?
It wasn't me. That was
you.
You did that. No, that had nothing to do with me. He doesn't deserve that. He works too hard. He doesn't need to catch that shrapnel.
He does.
Darius, how did it come about the other day that we just kind of started talking about how bad your hands are?
We were throwing the baseball around, as we do here in the bullpen sometimes. And
yeah.
I believe I was kind of like two-hand trapping the baseball. And
you're double catching.
Right.
Pop, pop.
You're double catching. Yes.
This. And I admit it. Right. I don't have great hands. I never did. I played basketball when I was younger. I just never had great hands. This is what it is.
If you're in the block and you're posting up or like you're, let's say, I like this better. We go high pick and roll. Okay. You set a screen for me at the top of the key. And let's say this is like high school me. This isn't me now. So I'm trying to take someone off the bounce. But I'm coming back to you now. You're barreling down the paint toward the rim, Darius, okay? And I see you, and I go behind the back, and I lay the ball right out in front of you. My fear is you're putting your hands out, and you're doing that, like, alligator chomp thing where you're clasping at the ball. You're not bringing it in like an egg that you don't want to break.
I would say there's 75% chance I'd fumble that, yeah.
Can I trust you to just bring the ball in and in one motion throw it off that glass with a little English?
Trust is a tough word to use in a situation. I would definitely admit that.
Yeah. I mean, first we need a little more belief in ourselves. That's where we got to start.
Danny, you know this. Yeah,
we
need the pitchback machine. We need like some reps off the garage door a couple times. Like,
right.
let's work on that. You got a tennis ball in 10 minutes.
They had a run though, where for years I'm trying to think of each of the guys in that era, but it was Haywood. Jahidi White. I would throw like Terry Davis, if you remember him. We're number 52.
I do.
Actually, great answer to a trivia question. I'm pretty sure he scored the first ever points at the then MCI Center. Maybe even Calvin Booth. Booth had better hands, actually, as I think about it. But like they went on this run where all of their bigs that you just – there was no screen and roll. Like I would watch the Kings, and I'd watch Chris Webber.
Uh-huh.
Set a screen or pass the ball, and then he's moving, and no matter where you threw it, he's bringing it in, and he's able to gather and go up. You'd watch a Wizards game. It's like a different sport. You just can't throw the ball inside to the interior.
What are you going to dish it down to Etan Thomas and let him work respectfully? Like, I love Etan Thomas. That guy could play in a way. I mean, he got an enormous deal because Wizards had Ben Wallace and let him go for nothing, and that guy turned into the defensive player of the year and an anchor for a championship team. So you had another undersized center that was physical. So Etan Thomas got an astounding amount of money to basically be a 7-6 backup behind Brendan Haywood. And they hated each other. Other than that, great move.
Etan Thomas, poet laureate, right? He was the poet on the team.
Uh-huh.
I believe he got paid $39 million. He was
right.
One of the nicest professional athletes to me.
Oh, yeah.
As a kid that I ever dealt with. He was so, so accommodating. Was he the guy? Was it Haywood? Who did he always fight?
It was Haywood. He and Haywood hated each
other. Yeah, they got into actual like fist fights. Now, I'm not talking about Rod Strickland, Tracy Murray, where Murray played a game with a black eye because Rod Strickland punched him in the face. Do you remember that? Tracy Murray's black eye game because Strickland and him got into an actual fist fight? And like, there's no way to hide that. I mean, at least when Etan Thomas and Brendan Haywood got in their fights at practice or whatever, you know, we wouldn't find out about it until years later. But Tracy Murray standing there with a giant black eye, and it's like, what happened? And they've got to talk about how him and Rod Strickland got into one.
Somebody tweet me at Funny Danny. Who was the guy? You might remember this, Grant, because this is your Slumdog Paulson era situation. There was a guy where they claimed he couldn't get a suit.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
And didn't play for a game when it was probably maybe something suspension worthy or whatever. And I'm like, dude, there's a Joseph A. Bank 100 yards from the then whatever the phone booth was called. Like, you can get yourself a suit if you're in the association.
That wasn't Kwame?
I don't remember who it was. See, anyways, I mean, like, the name that jumped to my mind is like LaRon Prophet, but I don't think that's who it was at all. But it was like that era where there was some sort of chicanery that happened, and they wanted us to not pay attention to it. Because, like, the guy couldn't get a suit. I'm like, dude, yes, you can.
There's a guy we haven't mentioned yet, and not necessarily that we should have mentioned him, because why would we? But in that era of Wizards basketball. So here's your trivia question, and I'll give you this hint. There was a year where the Wizards took two players in the first round at picks 11 and 17. Juan Dixon was the second of them at 17. Who was the guy they took in that same first round at 11? And the hint I'll give you is that they had just played each other in the Final Four.
Jared Jeffries.
Jared Jeffries out of Indiana.
Or Aaron Jeffries, because there was no J.
Yeah. Mason, I mean, a guy that wouldn't exist in today's game because just didn't have the shot or the range or whatever.
There's never been a worse shooter. A nice dude, but my God.
You sure about that?
Yeah, I mean, they did draft Jan Vesely. That guy was so athletic and gifted and, like, a little bit of the Swiss Army knife, like, do everything, tall, could not shoot even a little bit.
He was my guy at one point. All right, we can end it here. Who was the Wizard that you were the most excited about in your life that never amounted to anything close to what you anticipated?
Do you know the answer to this, and that's why you're putting me on a tee?
I don't, actually.
It's Jarvis Hayes. I told everybody during the season, the college basketball season, this is the missing link. This is the key. This 6'7" athletic jumping jack, a transfer from Western Carolina to Georgia, has everything that I want. He is a shooter. He can slash a little bit. He's long, lengthy, athletic, as I said, can defend. This two guard can excel without the ball in his hands and is the missing link to go from fun 42-43 win team to the first 50-win team of my lifetime. Ladies and gentlemen, Jarvis Hayes, I think they took him 10th overall if memory serves. I swore this was the guy. This was the dude. And he played in the NBA. You know, like he existed. He's a human being. He collected a paycheck. But it was never what I thought. And it wasn't close, frankly.
I'd go either, and I think they were drafted at the same time, but two guys that I thought were going to be really good and didn't end up being good, Dominic McGuire and JaVale McGee. Or I would throw in Kevin Serafin. I was a big Kevin Serafin guy.
You were a Kevin Serafin
guy. There's no good reason for that, but I just was.
You sleep on my 11-year-old every once in a while from the other room going, JaVale McGee, to get me to laugh.
I don't sleep on that.
I don't know where it comes from, but it's funny.
It sounds like he's playing NBA Jam or something.
Maybe.
All right, Linnell's got overtime. There's a lot of Wizards to discuss. Jordan Poole traded today. The draft is tomorrow. The Nats play tonight in San Diego. James Wood looking to homer again on this road trip. He's sitting at 22 and in the top five in the big leagues in OPS. Thanks for listening to the show. As always, we're back at 2 o'clock tomorrow.
Thank you for coming.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.